Blog Talk Radio.
Lubbock at the, you know, Whale Genesis
Looking by Texas. I don't know if that's a. But anyway, I wondered about that. Maybe John can straighten me out when he gets on the line here. But man, IBCA red hot. A lot of contests in Texas have changed over to the IBCA. And friends, I believe there might be a changing of the guard in the IBCA, and so there might be some big things coming down the road. Now, I don't know for sure, but might be some good changes and some big things coming down the road in the IBCA. Might get kind of exciting down there in Texas, and IBCA is a huge sanctioning body, so it'll be interesting to see what changes are going on. Now, folks, you know, we've got our Barbecue Superstar morning show every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, and we've been cooking a whole lot of household food, more household food, this past week, and today I went out and I cranked up the disc cooker, and the disc cooker got a, I want to say Cajun, but it's not Baton Rouge. Anyway, it's a Cajun gas burner, and boy, does it burn hot. It's like a 150,000 BTU gas burner. I've got it closed all the way down that I can get it down, and it still cranks up about a 16-inch disc cooker. Now, this cooker is made from a set of discs, just like you go out and you hook a tractor up to a three-point hitch on a set of discs. It's not plowed now. Plowed, throw it over to one side, but discs, they throw it both directions, so it kind of ends up being a little bit fat, but they flat, but they cut down to the ground 6 to 8, 12 inches. Well, one of those round discs, I watched him cut the little place. It's like an extension, you know, a little 2-inch tooth on it. I've seen him cut all those off and put a inch and a half rim all the way around it, diving board on the back, and it's got the place for the square axle and just have their axles in the center, and that's been filled in, of course. And I went out there and I threw a whole bunch of butter and onions in the center of it. It took them onions in probably 2 minutes. And then I threw in 3 great big potatoes. And a little later, I put a pound of sausage in it. And you want to talk about frying up some hash browns that were simply unbelievable. Now, folks, there's an Alpha Burner. An Alpha Burner. Most of them are 30,000 BTUs, which means, unlike the Cajun burner that I've got, it'll fry without burning. You know, you can turn it up as high as you want, and it might get as hot as the low setting on this Cajun burner, but it's not going to burn everything, you know, like overheat on frying. Now, a lot of Alpha burners will not get 5 gallons of peanut oil hot enough to deep fry a turkey. But now, these high volume burners, like this Cajun burner is, where, you know, it lets a lot of gas go out, it will flat get a deep fryer rolling. And that's really the whole idea behind the whole thing you know, when you go out there and you got 5, 6, 7 gallons of oil and you want to get it rolling so you can dip that 25-pound turkey down in it and it's just going to cook it right on up, well, that is what you need right there. And I tell you, it's done a real good job since I've been running it. And I really enjoy cooking on it because it don't play around. It gets the job done. It gets that disc cooker rolling. Now, I had to do some modifications on the burner itself. Now, the burner, you know, it's mostly set up for a flat bottom, great big pot. And The disc cooker, of course, because it's a disc, it's got, you know, it's a round bottle, you know, it's a little semi-circle. So I had to make it so the semi-circle would sit. And actually, my son's a body man. He works on cars and paints cars. He's the one that fixed it, and it really works well. So if you want to buy one of those, just go to smokerplans.net, get a hold of Frank Cox, and he'll whip one out for you and send it on down there. It probably didn't take, it might be 10 pounds, so the shipping on it's not going to be bad. But buy it once, you got it for life. This thing is heavy duty. It'll never rust or destroy or anything. Well, what a big week we had on Barbecue Superstars this week. Now, Monday, we had one of the biggest shows we've ever had on Barbecue Superstars. That was Jim Bird Killer Bee Show. Now, if you go to the Blog Talk Radio, the Barbecue Superstars Radio Network, you'll be able to see that show pretty much at the top of the list, and had a whole bunch of big time teams who've done a lot of competitions and won a lot. And they really got to talk about a lot of stuff. You know, they threw a lot of stuff out there. And it was just a whole lot of great information. And I got to give Jim Bird kudos. He's good at everything he does. You know, he is a winner in all ways. And hard-working guy, and we appreciate him putting the show on like he did on Monday. And we know he's going to do it again and again and again. And But then Lance Moore on Sunday night, he's fixing to have some fantastic stuff come in. And folks, I'm going to tell you, probably in another month, you're not going to want to miss Lance Moore, West Texas Pitmaster Show, because you're going to become a huge source of information. And make sure you always at least go by and check out Lance's show so you can see what's going on in the IBCA and in barbecue in general. And I'm going to tell you, old Lance has been leading the Panhandle IBCA region all year long. That boy don't play. He can flat cook. And I'll tell you something else. He's a computer man. That's what he does for a living. So if you need computer help or work on computers, and he didn't tell me to tell you this, but that's what he does for a living. So I got a feeling he could probably build any kind of website or do any kind of work you need like that too. So, you know, if you look at the professionality and the people who are coming on Barbecue Superstars Radio now, it's really getting exciting. John Reeves on Thursday night. Now, we've got a huge, huge show on Wednesday night, and we've got two, actually. Wednesday night is a big night on Barbecue Superstars Radio, but Barn Goddess Lori Frizzee is blowing it out the water, and she's just bringing on guests. And the thing about Lori is, it's just like I watched her cook that one day. You know, she made 20 different cuisines, 20 different items, on the Big Papa's Battle at Barbecue Junction, in an hour and 15 minutes. And she's bringing 20 guests a week on a radio show on BNTL. And, shoot, it's hard to believe how hard she works at everything she does. So I'm sure she's, doing good at a regular job, doing good on BNTL. And them guys down in the FDA better look out. If you ever get this fine tune at that barbecue competition, she might get tough to beat down in there. She might do a FDA team of the year. Next weekend, they got the first book down in the Florida Barbecue Association, and they're going to be down there. It's a place for the teams to trade ideas, work hard on their cuisine. Now, they're going to have a Big Papa's Battle at Barbecue Junction down there. And we want to wish all the competitors luck. And they got a main man down there named Dana L. Hillis, who has a lot of competition barbecue classes. And always be watching his site, because when he gives a class, you might want to get on down there because he's won the FBA 2010-2012, and he took runner-up in 2011. He's in the top right now, of course, in the FBA, just like he is every year. And folks, I'm going to tell you, when you get access to somebody of like Dana Hillis, you better take advantage. You need to take advantage. You know, you need to get in there and jump on it with both feet so that you can learn how to do that cue, work hard, and earn some substantial rewards. Now, when the Cooks meeting's over, they're going to call in, and we're going to be talking about this big Texas Tech competition that they got going down in the center of Texas Tech. And it's really exciting what's going on with John Reeves. I tell you, he's got a great radio show, great barbecue team. And then he kind of helped put this competition together. Now, he's actually competing in the competition, so he's not the event organizer. But his connection with Texas Tech meat people. Now, Texas Tech has got a meat division, and we had somebody from a division like that at the National Barbecue Association and under our pay-per-view part, where you got to become a member and pay $4 a month or $40 for 15 months. We've got the videos, and there's a young lady who come out and butchered some beef and talked about all the different cuts of beef. And but there was another guy that's like this Texas Tech division that is a PhD in meat. And, you know, meat's getting so specialized now, the amount of information that's out there about it, because cooking meat's getting very specialized. You know, just like everything in America, everything we do just keeps getting better and better and better. And everything's getting specialized because, okay, back here with the research to bring it about to being, and now we're going to carry it to the next step to make it better. So it's not surprising that they've got a research department in meat handling and meat cuts. And I guess everybody knows by now that they've changed the nomenclature of pork. And essentially they changed pork name of course, pork name of course, pork name and good Lord, I can't say the word. nomenclature. Pork nomenclature to beef nomenclature. So you got beef roast. Now they want to do pork roast instead of Boston butt. Then the whole thing is the steaks. So you got a ribeye steak that's beef. You got a ribeye steak that's pork. You got a T-bone steak that's beef. You got a T-bone steak that's pork. You got a sirloin that's beef. You got a sirloin that's pork. And it's obvious what they mean to do. They mean to raise the price on everything, and so they're gonna put a fancier name with it in order to get more money for it. And I don't know. Pork has always been a source of meat that poor people could count on. You know, if you can't buy the $5.99 a pound steak, you could always buy the $1.29 Boston butt. But now, it's not the $1.29 Boston butt. It's going to be the $4 a pound pork roast. Well, it's not yet, but you know, that's probably where it's headed, and that's really unfortunate. You know, I really hate that, and I just don't know where this country's going sometimes, and it's scary, and Well, I tell you, barbecue is just getting stronger and stronger. And, you know, they had this thing on History Channel where they said the barbecue contests are bringing the downtowns back to life, and that a lot of towns are getting revitalized because of these events going down in the downtown. And, you know, that's really exciting. It's a great time in American history where we can kind of come back to American cuisine and patriotism and being a good old American and going down into the middle of town, cooking some good old barbecue. Barbecue makes everybody happy. And what a wonderful thing that we can be a part of and bring into the community to get everybody together so they can share, talk, and enjoy some family, wholesome fun. And that's what barbecue is. You know, barbecue is a family tradition, family fun. And when that pig goes on and that smoke starts rolling, man, I tell you, everybody gets happy with it. And it doesn't matter whether you're in Texas cooking beef or Georgia cooking pork or out there in Southwest cooking tri-tip. When that beef or that pork goes on and that smoke's rolling, all those families and people get happy out there. It's a good time for all. Now, we had a shakeup on the Barbecue Superstars Top 100 Sauce List. Uh-oh. That's right. The Top 100 Ranked Barbecue Sauce List. We had a shakeup. Now, there's this sauce that sent me some sauces probably 6 months ago. He gave me one of each. He had a bacon, a garlic, original, and a hot one. And, you know, when I used them, I could tell they were high quality. They were really an undiscovered soup sauce. You know, I knew they were good, and I actually tried to save them. You know, I used a little bit on television to do one rack of ribs, and then I tried to save the rest, and I tried to really stretch it out so I could keep each bottle as long as I could. But, you know, I think there was one show where I did Boston Butts where I used a whole bottle at one time. And, you know, a 16-ounce bottle when you got large quantities of meat really isn't a lot, especially, you know, if you do 4 or 6 Boston Butts. Now, I think one time on one of the shows when I used the whole bottle, I did 2 briskets with different rubs and different injection. No, I know which one it was. I did all 4 categories. I did all 4 categories on a video and put it on YouTube. And I used a whole bottle at once, and I hate that dude. But I guess the big announcement and the big shakeup is a barbecue sauce called Pig Chasers. Pig Chasers. Now, you better remember that name, Pig Chasers. Pig Chasers has done went out and got every major food chain in the United States in an uproar and real happy. And I'm going to tell you something. That might end up being the next big swing down the barbecue competition line. Lou's Hog better look back and stop behind him, because this Pig Chaser barbecue sauce is going to hit the shelves, hit the market, and it's going to hit the whole world by storm. And, you know, if you want to get ahead of the curve, you might want to order a bottle of each and figure out what you think and where it stands as far as doing your 4-category turn-in or 3-category if you're in the GBA or SBN or whichever one you're in. Because this Pig Chaser barbecue sauce, I'm predicting, will move way up very quickly. Push it up to 3rd in the world And all right, we got somebody called in here from Texas just now. And who we got on the line?
Man, you got John Smoking X, buddy.
Whoa, John Reese is down in Texas Tech. And what's going on down there?
Well, looks like we're pushing. It's a little cook, guys. We got about 30 teams. We got $500,000 diesel pushers, and we got my Yukon parking next to one of them. So we got a variety of cooks. We got some homemade offsets and stick burners and jambos. But I tell you what, the top 10 teams in the panhandle of Texas and the IBCA are all grouped together, and we all had a little meeting a while ago, and we're all going to play fair. But I tell you what, this is the last cook-off of the season for us. And the IBCA, everything starts over in September, so I think I was told earlier that the points race is just neck and neck, and this one's going to count.
Man, now hold on. Let me build this up a little bit. Now, I got a call from Lance Moore. I think he's on the line now. Now, tell me this ain't exciting. He led up until last week down at the cook that Chris Chadwick went to. And this guy came up out of the blue and moved ahead of him 5 points. And this cook right here is going to decide it all. And Lance Moore, who has led all season, is behind 5 points. And he's got to pull it out. He's got to beat this guy for 5 points or he's going to lose it all. Am I right, Lance? Lance, is that you?
I see Lance's truck. I'll run over and see him. I'll see if I can find him.
806-445, are you there? Man, I'm telling you what, I wish I had my cameras there because it's going to be a photo finish. Now, last year, I was in Calhoun, Georgia, and we had a photo finish down there. And I tell you, it was down to the wire as to who was going to win. But the guy in second place took six, and the guy who was currently in first took reserve grand. So that pretty much decided the team of the year contest. Okay, now we got enough. We got another caller. I believe this might be Lance.
We may have
806-470. Is this Lance?
Lance is a 806-292 number. You may have whole Texas Tech people calling. You never know.
Okay. All right, everybody. If you're on the line and you want to talk, let us know who you are. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Jennifer with Breastfest. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Glad you called in. Are you at the contest tonight?
Yes, we're actually out here. We saw John earlier and Lance and a bunch of people. It's going to be a party,
okay.
I guess.
Are you guys competing this weekend?
Oh, no. We're just out here to show scores and let everybody know about our football.
Okay. Are you affiliated with Texas Tech? Do you go to their stuff or?
These are the girls that helped out with when Chadwick came down. They're the ones that put the cook off on that Chadwick came down. They're out here meeting and greeting and just showing a good time and just learning, you know, how to make their cook off a little better, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, let me ask you, young lady, what do you think about this points thing that Lance Moore was leading all season, and he's behind by 5 points now. And this cook-off's going to decide the whole thing. It's kind of exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting. We're looking forward to see who wins it, takes it all.
You know, when Lance called me yesterday, you know, I think it was more surprise in his voice than anything else. He said, "Daryl, I know I had it won. I don't understand what happened." And John, how's he feeling out there right now?
Yeah, we're doing good. It's just, it's, you know, it's, we're, the wind's blowing a little bit. We got a little bit of overcast. We're cooking on asphalt on the Texas Tech campus. Well, the Texas Tech people are showing us a lot of support, just rolling out the red carpet. This is the only cook-off, I'm going to tell you, and I'm not bashing anybody else's cook-off. Understand that before I say anything else. But you got to understand, they've got John Deere Gators running around this cook-off, loaded down with ice and water. It's all the free water and all the free ice you can go through all weekend long. They're really catering to the cooks.
And you're actually on the Texas Tech campus, so describe what it looks like. I mean, is the stadium in view and some of the big main buildings, or what part of the campus are you on?
We are across. Texas Tech has a hospital that's affiliated with Texas Tech called University Medical Center. It's a UNC hospital. I'm sitting here staring at the hospital. I don't think a lot of people understand how big the Texas Tech campus is. I'm probably a mile from Jones Stadium, and I'm still on campus.
Holy camoly.
And we're right across from the hospital. We're right here by the baseball field and the soccer field. And there's actually a freeway that cuts the campus almost in half. And we're, staring at the freeway and looking at all the high rises and everything. And I'm telling you, it's just an awesome feeling to be sitting here.
Man, that's a long deal. Go ahead.
The crossroad is Texas Tech Freeway and 16th Street.
Oh, Texas Tech Freeway? Holy cavalry. Hey, John, when you decide you want to organize a contest, just organize a little contest for us. You know, you can handle it.
I tell you what, we're just absolutely dumbfounded because we've got 30 teams, I think, are signed in right now. There's 5 or 10 teams, they said, that haven't shown up yet, that are driving pretty far off, that haven't made it in yet. We just got out of the cook meeting, and they handed out trays and everything. Everything's great, good to go. But you got to understand, I mean, it's crazy. The top 8 or 9 teams in the IBCA Panhandle region are all sitting here. We're all grouped together, believe it or not. And no one's just absolutely thrown the gauntlet down, but I tell you what, it's liable to get nasty before 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Hey, man. Hey, it's like NASCAR. You're going to come down through the straight 3 wide.
I really believe that, and we all laugh about it. We're all being friendly, and we're all kind of joking, and we all kind of, get our little heckles in here and there. But I tell you what, I respect a lot of these cooks. Lance is just an awesome cook. Kurt Pittman's an awesome cook. Just all these guys are on this road here. Toby Cooksey, who's our regional guy with IBCA, who's also in the points race. He is on here on row with us. And we joke around. We call it Winner's Row. But I tell you what, it's going to be tight. It's going to be tough. Cole and I jumped, several points in the spots, over 27 points last week. We jumped 3 spots. So that ought to tell you how tight this race is. We're just all neck and neck. And, I think there are – well, tell you how tough this is. I think there's either 3 or 4 cooks at this competition that are going to the Royal Invitational. So, I mean, that ought to tell you how tough this is.
Wow. Man, that's big, man. Now, let's let the young lady, since she's helping you out and everything, tell us about the competition you had this past week.
Mm-hmm. Hang on a second.
At Breastfest?
Breastfest. Yeah, tell us about that. It was a big time comp. Go ahead.
We had 63 cooking teams. at Breast Fest, and there was a bunch of people there that were very competitive, and it all went over very smoothly. We were very excited and very proud to have that many teams there.
Well, good. And how much kind of prize money did you have?
We had a $5,000 guaranteed payout.
Holy smokes.
With the three meats, and then we did a 50-50 payout on beans, margaritas, and chicken breast.
Margaritas? That's a nice category.
Well, we did have margaritas. It went over great. Everybody likes to come out and judge those margaritas.
Now, I did happen to be a judge one time at the, what do you call it, the tomato drink you drink in the morning. Bloody Mary. I did a Bloody Mary contest. Yeah, and I drank part of 18 different Bloody Marys. And, you know, by the time it was all over, I was feeling pretty good, you know. Well, I know Chris Chadwick really enjoyed himself while he was out there. He said it was a well-run contest. And, you know, one thing he said about your contest was, no stress. I mean, everything was taken care of. You weren't wanting for anything. It all came down to how good you could put your cook together, and that's saying a lot coming from Chris. And so you did a great job. How could somebody get a hold of you next year if they decide they want to come and cook your cook?
We have a Facebook page right now. It's under the name of Breast Fest. And we're working on getting a website put together so that we'll actually have a website this next year. And that way cooks can go on and sign up and pay their registration fees online and get all the information. But we do have a Facebook page currently, and it's under Breast Fest.
Okay, so you guys heard that right here. And next year, I believe Chris Chadwick will find a way of coming back. And who knows, maybe some live television barbecue superstars will fly out with our live broadcast, and we'd love to broadcast live there from there and Lubbock at the Texas Tech. And we appreciate all the support that you're giving John Reeves today, because John Reeves is our main man. He's the Texas Tech, hell yeah, X Nation down on Thursday night, 7 o'clock. And I tell you what, he's really worked hard on this thing. And John, now, John, I want to make you realize something now. Listen to me, buddy. In the other sanctioned body, and I'm not going to say the four-letter word, but anyway, 35 is a high number for a contest. And I know you've been down the IBCA and used to 60, 80, 100, 200 teams at every contest, but you've actually lead and exceeded what everybody else in the country is doing. So 35 is not bad, bud. And I know there's been some competition down the road that's played a little dirty ball to get your teams and all that stuff. But, you know, things have a way of coming around. And but I tell you what I'm excited about is the fact that you're on the Texas Tech Stadium right down dead center in the middle of it. School's about to start. And I believe we have Lance Moore with us now. And what's going on, Lance?
How much, boys? How are y'all?
Man, now, you led the panhandle all year, and now you're sitting here at the last cook. And how many points are you down from first place?
Right now, it's taking about 125, 130 points to be in first place.
Okay.
And now, I'm sitting at about 122 or something like that. So, but it looks like that the guy that had that was in the lead this last weekend, he didn't show up, so we'll see what happens here.
Awesome. You got that chance now. Can you make up the point stretch? If what will you have to do? What place will you have to be in the top 10 to make up the point stretch?
Say that again now.
I said, will you have to be in the top 10 to make up those points?
You know, you may not have to be in the top 10, but, you know, I can foresee, you know, like a weekend like this, I mean, the points are going to double because we have over 25 teams. So I would bet that it's probably going to take 20 to 30 points to pull it off this weekend. You know, and like I said, that may not even be a top 10 in double points. Now, you're single, I mean, just your regular, you probably, you know, 10. You know, if you hit a first place category or a couple of solid in the middle categories, you could probably do it. But, you know, we got like four or five guys wadded up within probably about 20 points of each other right now. So, I mean, it could really go any which way. Whoever hits the lick.
Championship road down through there is looking pretty tough right now.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, you got your main man, John Reeves, right over here. What do you think about it, John?
Now, I'll tell you what I think. I think you better bring your A game tonight and tomorrow and maybe keep that fire water at bay a little bit. Have a good time. Cook, follow the rules. I mean, and double-check the rules. Double and double and triple. And you better be paying attention because you do not want to get a box turned back this weekend. It's hard enough to get one turned back on certain weekends, but this weekend, I mean, it'll hurt more than anything.
Go ahead,
Lance.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, you know, there's like I said, there's three of us right now, I mean, within probably 20 yards of each other that, you know, it could go any which one way. And I take that back. There's four of us. There's four of us within 30 yards that are that could pull it off this weekend. Any one of them could be team of the year.
Oh, wow. So, holy moly.
Yeah, it wadded up. I mean, it wadded up, you know, and that's what happens sometimes, you know. This will be, I think, our 16th contest of the year that I've been in this year. And, of course, that wasn't all IBCA. I've done some Kansas City and stuff like that, too. But I probably got about 10 in the IBCA. And here we are. We're in the last contest of the year, and that's where it's going to all finally find out where we're all at. So,
okay, now Lance, go ahead.
Not where I wanted to be this weekend, to be honest with you, as far as points. I wanted to kind of have this sewn up already so I didn't have to worry about it.
Going into the press fest, I mean, you were comfortable.
I had about a 10-point lead. And
hey,
the guy that was right behind me, he didn't hit a lick either, so... it was a guy that just kind of snuck up, had about 80 points, and he ended up being reserve champion, and with that being a triple-point contest, I mean, here he got. I mean, he ended up, I think he's about 4 or 5 points ahead of me, and then he didn't show up to this one, so, or he's not here right now, as it is right now.
Well, I was going to say, what's the latest he could show up?
He showed up at 6 o'clock in the morning, to be honest with you. I don't know what kind of product he'd have, but...
because he missed the cook speech, I didn't know if he'd be qualified or what.
No, I mean, you know, we have some come in late, and, you know, the thing about it is, you know, with IBCA, I mean, same thing with Kansas City and stuff like that, I mean, you know, sometimes you do come into a cook late, you get a couple of guys to inspect your meat. And, you know, that's the main thing. They get their meat inspected, you know, that they're on the level playing ground, and you let them go. And, you know, they do what they want. I mean, you know, I've seen guys start pits up at 9 o'clock in the morning and start cooking, you know,
wow.
First turn in being at noon.
Wow, 3 hours.
I love those guys that start their pit at 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't know that they ever walk, but I love it, you know. I mean, let them start them things up at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, I mean, it's good for people like Lance and I, but, you know, I mean, they're paying their entry fee like everybody else, and maybe they know something we don't, but I don't ever see them really do much. Do you, Lance?
Yeah, I mean, not a lot, but, I mean, there's times that they'll hit a lick, and, I mean, you know, it may be enough to screw you up enough, but it's not a lot. I mean, you don't see a lot, but, I mean, you take people like, well, take Myron Nixon, I mean, for example. I mean, that man cooks his briskets at 350 degrees, and, you know, they're cooking them in 5 hours. I mean, look what they've done to, you know, just like on the Pitmaster show this year. I mean, look how long they've been cooking those briskets. Not very long at all. And so, you know, you got a 3 o'clock turn-in on brisket, and that's your heavy meat. A lot of these guys, they'll come in, you know, especially south of here, you know, they'll cook their chickens an hour, 45 minutes to an hour on a half chicken. Ribs at that point are your key. I mean, you know, you're gonna need to 5 to 6 hours rib cook to me to have a good product. But, you know, these guys, some of these guys are pulling briskets off. Some of these guys cook flats only. And, you know, they'll pull a brisket out in, you know, 4 or 5 hours. And there's some of these guys, you know, that I've been around that have hit that way. So you never know. I mean, you know, I cook big 14-pound briskets. So if I start my fire at 9 o'clock, it's pretty much over with me on that end of it. You don't have to worry about me showing up for brisket.
Well, and that's the deal. Is we're cooking 11.6 this weekend. We usually try to get 11.5 to 12 pounder, and then we trim it a little bit. But, you know, laugh all you want to. Cole and I are low and slow. Our brisket will hit the pit tonight. And, you know, we'll pull it and let it rest for a little bit. But I'm telling you, you know, I'm almost a pound an hour guy. So I don't know how those guys do it. Maybe they know something I don't, or they've perfected something I haven't, but or Cole and I haven't. But, you know, I'm telling you, we'll be throwing our brisket on here shortly.
Well, John, you know, would you like to share what you're injecting it with and maybe what you're rubbing it with?
Well, we do an injection, and we do a little bit mixing around. And it's no secret to the whole world that we use Junior's Rub for Grub. So ask me again tomorrow after 6 o'clock after the awards, and I may tell you a little bit more.
Well, we got us another caller here, 806-445. Who we got here? Go ahead. It's okay.
Sounds like that may be Jennifer.
Oh, okay. Then we got an 806-470. I didn't know if you wanted to listen or talk, but you're on the line if you want to talk. Lance, tell us what you think about.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. So 806-445 must be just listening. Lance, tell us what you think about the setting of the contest now. You're sitting right up there in the middle of Texas Tech by the Texas Tech Freeway, and now you're going for the whole championship and everything. I mean, do you feel like you're in the Super Bowl a little bit?
Oh, yeah, something like that. You know, this is our second year to cook this contest. It was a good contest last year. And this is the first year that we've done the points contest in the Panhandle Pit. And I think we had, I believe... I was figuring it up that night, and I think we had 22 or 23 contests that counted in the panhandle for this. So, it's always one of those deals. I mean, it'll definitely, you know, have some bragging rights to it. And, you know, of course, you know, whoever pulls it off, I mean, they've done quite a bit. So, you know. I've cooked my butt off this year, I know that, and you know, I've still got a lot to go this year, unfortunately, so when I say unfortunately, I guess it's a good thing. I'll probably still have about another 5, 6, 7 contests to go. I mean, we still got the roll to go, and I mean, our name's in the Jack Daniels withdrawal, you know, and so we'll see. It's been kind of a wild year for us. I mean, you know, we've been as far west this year as Las Vegas, Nevada, and looking like, I guess, as far east as Kansas City, Missouri. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess this would be a pretty good lick right here, too, and a good starting ground. So, still got a ways to go, though.
How many contests are required to be in contention for the championship?
We don't have right now, and we've been kind of talking about that, but right now there's not a set number of contests. I mean, it's essentially, you know, everybody that the only criteria that you have right now is you have to be a member of the IBCA, and you also have to be a member of the Panhandle PIC, which is, I mean, technically what we call that, IBCA has chapters, essentially. And so there's several PIC chapters. Panhandle is the one that we're in. And so that's the two criteria to be in this. And then the contest has to be held in where the Panhandle PIC is operating. So, you know, they separated some of that this year, like south of I-20, which would be down where Junior's at in Midland, Odessa. That's not going to be part of the Panhandle PIC anymore. So if he cooked down there, those points wouldn't count. So I guess that's the three things that you have to have. And, I mean, other than that, there's not any other rule about it. And, you know, it's and like I said, I mean, this is the first year out. He started it last year. Toby Cooksey started it. And he is the president, essentially the pit boss of the Panhandle chapter. He's in the points, too. And he came up with this idea. I thought it was a great idea. And so we got together, and I told him, I said, you know, I said, we'll kind of get this figured out. So I went to building spreadsheets and stuff for it. And, you know, it is. I mean, I didn't realize how complicated it was going to get with all, I didn't, you know, as many contests. And then, like I said, I mean, if you have under 25 teams, then you only get single points. If you have 25 to 49 teams, you're going to get double points. If you have 50 to, you know, whatever, you got triple points. And so, you know, right now I think that there's 35 of us technically in the Panhandle PIC that are paid members. I believe that's right. There may be more than that. And, you know, by the time you start entering all that data for all those contests, it's quite a bit of stuff. So,
a lot of variables to take in consideration and everything.
Absolutely. And so, you know, it's a good thing. I think, you know, IBCA in the past had been doing a team of the year for the whole organization. And that's kind of what started some of this. They kind of dropped it this year because it was hard. Same thing. I mean, you have, I think, about 2,500 cookers.
Wow.
And so you just think about it on that level, trying to keep track of it. And that was part of the deal. Will and them guys that had done compbarbecue.com, they built the new website for the IBCA. And that's what they're doing now is they're building that database and everything, but it'll start tracking all the points here pretty soon. And Will Cleaver and them guys. And, you know, they've done a great job. And, you know, it's going to be pretty neat. And, but, you know, you think about that. I mean, you got 200 and some odd contests. I think Lynn told me the other day we had 253 contests on the books this year.
Man, hell so, yeah.
So, I mean, you think about that, and I believe there was 25, I believe there's about 2,500 cooks because there was a guy last year that did all the tracking of the points. We ended up in the top 50 last year. We were 48, 47, somewhere in there, 49. Out of all of that, and I had emailed him because I was kind of curious to see how many cooks we had, and I was shocked that we had that many cooks cooking in the IBCA. So, you know, I think Kansas City right now is running, what, around 6,000? So,
2,200.
You know,
last I seen it was 2,200. They've only got 2,200. Kansas City, 2,200 teams is all they got.
So, I mean, you think about it. I mean, it's a big deal, and yeah, I think it's going to get bigger and better. You know, we talked about some of that the other day, and hopefully we'll have a little bit more of that to announce here the next few weeks about some of that that's going on. And you know, I see great things for the IBCA and you know, barbecue superstars, the whole nine yards of this. I mean, it's going to be I think it's going to be a big deal. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to be a part of it, and I'll tell you, good people to work with, good, honest, decent, you can work with them, and that's the key thing, and Then we got some new changes coming up too. There's going to be some new blood in the hot seat. So I don't know. Are we allowed to divulge any of that? Or
yes, I mean the elections are over with, and I mean Lynn Shivers, her husband was one of the founding members of IBCA when they started. I believe it was in 1989, 1990 when it first started. She was the secretary and I believe treasurer too for years. And it just had grown and grown and grown to where it was hard for one person to try to take care of all that. And so Lynn kind of stepped down a little bit and let some other people start filling in. And but, you know, it's very near and dear to her heart. So she went ahead and ran for director this year, and she got it. And, I mean, there's probably not anybody else out there that has the experience that she does in IBCA and know about, you know, how the day-to-day stuff went on. And so I thought it was a great thing for her to take that part of it over. And I think it starts like September the 2nd or something is when it officially she takes the reins. But I see some big things and some good things out of that. So
yeah, me too. And I tell you now, always keep up with Lance Moore's show on Sunday nights. You can get the IBCA news, and it's going to become an outlet. And see, now, big thing about being Sunday night is everything just happened on Friday and Saturday. So you can kind of get a shape of what happened the past week and then kind of get a forecast of the next week. So always on Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, tune in to Lance Moore Show so you can get the latest and the local news. And, folks, the organization and the IBC is going to get so good, you're going to want to change your contest over to the IBCA. And I tell you, the amount of problems that you have at your contest are going to go down as far as the judging part of it, because the randomization and the way it's handled is really, really good, effective, and I tell you, I'm so excited about the IBCA and everything that's going on with them. And Lance, have you already trimmed your meat? You got it on the?
No, sir. I'm fixing to go do that. I got my chickens done. And I got to go work on my ribs a little bit, and I got about a 14-pound brisket over there to do a little handling on. And you know, Darryl, like I said, I appreciate you having us on and, you know, setting this all up to where, you know, we were able to be successful having these barbecue shows. And, you know, we couldn't do it without you. I mean, you had the insight and the vision to do this. And, you know, without you, this wouldn't be going on either. So, you know, big applause to you, too. I mean,
yeah.
Great job.
Oh, yeah.
And, thank you.
Yeah, man. I tell you, I'm giving the barbecue cooks, and the big thing about barbecue superstars is I'm reaching out to the cooks. I'm reaching out to the people who, because the cooks pay the bills. That's the thing I've always said, and we couldn't have all these contests if they weren't for these serious barbecue cooks willing to spend the money, willing to drive out there, willing to set up. And every time that a barbecue cook loads up and pulls out and successfully complete their competition, that gives all the rest of us an industry and something to be a part of. And 2,500 committed cooks in the IBCA now. The name of the IBCA is International Barbecue Cooks Association. So the IBCA puts the cooks first in their association also, and that's one reason I'm drawn to it, is because, you know, when you go down to a NASCAR race, you don't hear about NASCAR, 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 NASCAR. What you hear about is Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Kyle Busch, and all the people who are driving the cars, because they're the ones out there with their neck in the ringer, and fortunately, that's the ones the general public wants to know about. They don't really want to know about just the sanctioning body. What they want to know about is all the people that are out there trying to win the championships. And the IBCA will do that for you as a cook team. So get on down there, get your contest changed over. Let's get on the road And John, we're excited about what you're doing tonight, and you want to give us a few words before we go?
Man, I just appreciate everything that you do for us, Daryl. Like Lance was saying, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have a show. You know, we appreciate you helping us out. And I just wanted to say, you know, it's really nice for a lot of us to get to go do what we do and get to go cook. But you know what? If it wasn't for some of the sponsors that we have, we wouldn't get to do what we do. So, you know, I want to thank all of our sponsors, Shade Pro and Junior Grub for Grub. It's a great product. Raider Red Meats, if you haven't, check them out. Check them out online. They have a Facebook page, Raider Red Meat. They're located on the Texas Tech campus and will drop ship overnight anything in their case anywhere in the continental United States. And I don't know, my plans want everybody to know, but you know, I'm cooking a Raider Red brisket this weekend. Paige cooked me over, and I got to pick out my own brisket straight out of the refrigeration units over there a while ago and my own ribs. So, you know, I just get to walk in there and pick out what I like. They really cater to it. So, you know, just without sponsors, we wouldn't be able to do. And without you, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So, you know, it's a tight race. It's going to be a nail-biter tomorrow. I guarantee it's 5:01 when they start those awards. It's going to be a nail-biter. I wish everyone the best of luck. I wish Lance and everyone else here, you know, all the luck. But you know what? I want you to walk, but I want to walk right after you.
Okay, now I'm going to schedule a show on the radio. All you have to do is call in as a guest and put your phone on speakerphone and lay it over by the speaker. You don't have to talk. You don't have to do nothing. It'll broadcast the whole thing so everybody can hear the Panhandle Championship pan out. So that'll be 6 o'clock tomorrow Eastern, 5 o'clock Central Time. And now, Lance, you're the man to beat, as far as I'm concerned, leading all year. You're the big man at the contest. Would you just lay it down for the other cooks before you go? What do you expect the results to be tomorrow?
I don't know, Daryl. I mean, there's some really good cooks here. I mean, we've got some seasoned guys here. I mean, that we got people like Jerry King here this weekend that's cooking. So, which is was very big tied into Kansas City. He's cooked for a number of years. I really don't have a prediction this time. I mean, because we got so many different variables at this contest that, there's probably about 10 guys here that I could name that could walk this off this weekend. And, it's going to be really interesting. And, of course, I mean, you know, our judge pool, I believe, it's going to be more college students. I don't know how that's another variable out there. They did a good job last time. Like I said, I cooked this last year, so this is my second year with Bradley and them, and they had a great contest last year, and they had about 28, 30 teams like that last year too. So very competitive. You understand, I mean, when I say these are college students, a lot of these are in the meat science program at Texas Tech. And a lot of people don't know, especially back in y'all part of the world, is Texas Tech has a nationally ranked meat science team. Matter of fact, they won the national championship the last couple of years. And
wow.
I believe that's correct. And they know meat and stuff like that. They know profiles and stuff like that. Now, you know, when you start getting the season and stuff like that, you know how it is. I mean, you know, everybody has their own preference on how they like something seasoned. And that still plays a part. But if it's like last year, the students that come in were very knowledgeable in meats and stuff like that. So, we'll see how that goes. And if that holds true, I mean, it'll be interesting because you got some really good cooks here this weekend. I mean, we got guys all the way from, do what?
Go ahead.
We got people, from about 100 to 150 miles each direction of Lubbock right now cooking here. So you got a lot of area that and a lot of different profiles and flavors and like that that's going on. So I really don't have a prediction this. And, you know, I didn't hope to do well enough that, you know, maybe I can walk away with it, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be really, really hard this weekend to do it. And,
sounds like a big-time championship setting up. But, you know, along those lines, since you said they were part of the Texas Tech Meat Science Department, though, we had two of them come to the National Barbecue Association. And, to be honest with you, this might be the best judge contest of the year for y'all, because there was a young lady, she looked like a normal woman, you know, but she went over and got a Victoria Knox knife and a whole sirloin from the sirloin tip all the way down to the tri-tip. And what she did to that poor sirloin was a shame, but I don't believe a surgeon could have done any better than her. And she broke down butchering a whole cow on the screen while she was cutting this sirloin up. And I tell you, them guys are experts. I mean, they know stuff about meat that you look around and it's like, I didn't know that was possible, you know. And that's the
way it is. And I mean, and that's something out in our part of the world. In the Southwest, you know, I was heavily in, you know, FFA and stuff like that. And even my teacher was a big college meat judge and stuff. And so we did a lot of judging, and just what you said right there, I mean, this part of the country is very heavily schooled in that kind of stuff. I mean, and it goes all the way back to into high school, and so, you know, they'll get 4 years in high school judging meats and stuff like that and learning all the process of it. They'll spend, you know, during judging season, you know, they'll spend hours and hours in supermarkets and stuff looking at carcasses and grading. And, you know, it's just, it's unbelievable. And to watch someone go through that process and then just what you said, being able to break that all down for you like that is, it's pretty amazing. But they're very knowledgeable about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the thing is, she probably wasn't 25 years old, and I'm sitting over there at 48, and I'm like, good God, she just took me to school back and forth.
But,
yeah,
you know, the Midwest and I said Southwest, but Midwest and Southwest, I mean, what do you have out here? Mostly are farmers, people that are farmed. A lot of them raise their own animals and stuff like that. So, you know, just like us, you know, when I was growing up, we did all our own butchering and stuff. So, you know, you learn a lot about that, and you kind of grew up with it. And so it's a little different than, you know, what a lot of people see that have lived in cities and stuff all their life that have never experienced that end of it. And, you know, you get them in there, and, I mean, they're very knowledgeable, they're young, and, boy, they can really break things down. And, you know, it's impressive to watch them. I mean, someone is good like that, it is impressive. So,
man, what a fitting place to have the final contest, and hats off to John for what he did to put it together and everything. And, shoot, all I can say is way to go. Well, for barbecue superstars, to everybody in Lubbock, Texas, at the Texas Tech Red Raider Hangout, we want to wish everybody a whole lot of luck, and everybody keep your head down, cook hard, and let's see what happens tomorrow. And all I can say is a big old hell yeah. And,
yes.
Shout out, sir. Go ahead.
No, I'm just listening.
Okay, John, you want to take us out with any final words?
All I can say is I'm just proud to be part of the Barbecue Superstars. Cole and I are both that's all I can say. Thank you, and thanks to our sponsors, and we hope that the weather holds out and we get to have a good cook. I mean, that's all we can hope for. You know, I posted a picture a while ago, or I'm trying to post one. I've got my beer and my departed koozie.
Oh, you have a radio?
Sitting by my chimney. We're starting it up. We're fixing a lot of pit, just kind of getting some coals going. And I just said simply, this is a perfect way to start a weekend. So, you know, and I that's the way I feel. My wife and kids are going to be coming out here in a little bit. If they don't make it tonight, they're going to be out here all day tomorrow. So I don't know what else I can ask for. I'm a blessed man.
Well, now, only one person needs to call if you get two phones that are being echoed. But 347-202-0263 anytime before the awards, up to 15 minutes, because I'll have it up early, and I'll put you in. And I want to challenge everybody. If you don't know anything about barbecue competition, just know that tomorrow a big, huge championship will be decided right here on Barbecue Superstars Radio, right in Lubbock, Texas, at the Texas Tech Red Raider campus. And, we want to challenge everybody at the Texas Tech University to get involved with John Reeves and his X Nation Smoking X show on Thursday night. He can be your voice on the radio every week. Texas Tech football, basketball, Texas Tech Red Raider meet, which he's already got involved with. This guy is a media outlet. And see, the thing about John Reeves' show is he's in control of it. So he don't have to take it from corporate about what he's got to talk about. All you got to do is get a hold of John Reeves, get involved with his show, and he'll put you out there knee-deep and as high as your head, and it's going to really pump up your situation. So if you need exposure, if you need stuff resolved, get with John Reeves every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, and get on the Smokin' X show. And we're trying to build a big Texas network with this Barbecue Superstars Radio, and with our Sunday night 8 p.m. Eastern show and our Thursday night 7, we've got a great connect going panhandle barbecue in the IBCA. So make that your source and get on board with these guys, because we need all the help we can get to make this the dominant sport in the United States. Well, this is Darryl from Barbecue Superstar. We love every one of you. Good luck to all, and hopefully we'll see you back here 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 o'clock Central for the big finale. Good night, fellas.
Thanks, Darryl.
I'm gonna
Carson Network.